So this morning we come to the last session on our line of fruit bearing. So let's open our booklets, or our books, or whatever you call that. Let's open it to that fruit bearing line, message 5. And this line that we're covering here is covering the matter. It's not so much on the matter of truth. It's not so much on the matter of even life experience, but it's on the matter of practice. Okay? Practice. I like that word, practice. You know, practice implies that we don't know how to do it, right? It implies that we need to endeavor, we need to try, we need to experiment, right? We're learning. Okay? Practice implies learning. So how about we all say to your neighbor, let's practice. Okay, we want to practice. Practice to do what? Fruit bearing, right? We want to bear fruit. It takes a lot of practice. A lot of practice, okay? There's many ways. There's many ways you can do this. And there's no perfect formula, okay? Actually, the main way is by life. And I just want to impress you, you know, today, what is God doing? What is His heart's desire? He wants a body. This body is His expression. And this body is typified in John 15, right? We've seen this body. In John 15, what is it? It's the vine with the branches. Okay, who's the true vine? Christ, right? The Son, Jesus. He's the true vine. Who's the branches? We are the branches. So tell your neighbor, high branch in the vine. Okay, so we all know we're branches in the vine. So this is God's desire. If you want to know what's God's desire, His desire is to build up the body of Christ. And this is through our abiding in Him as the vine to bear much fruit. This is the one thing God is doing on the earth today. This is the reason why you're here. Amen. Our God wants to spread.
Amen.
Right? He doesn't want to just remain in the heavens. He doesn't want to just remain with us here, but He wants us all to increase. Okay, let's read the title together. Bearing fruit by contacting people directly, personally, and continually. Okay, a lot of good words here. Bearing fruit. By contacting people, okay? Are you afraid of people? Don't be afraid of people, okay? We want to bear fruit. Contacting people directly, right? What else? Personally and continually. Okay, continually. Let's read Rome number 1. Personally and continually to bear remaining fruit. Okay, let's read A. We all should desire fruit that remains and make a decision to get one person saved for the church life each year. Okay, we're getting people saved. Not for some movement, organization, even the campus club, but for the church life. Right? We want this vine to spread. Okay, I want to focus on these two words in A. We should desire. Underline desire. Desire, okay? Fruit that remains and make a decision. I like these two words. Desire and decision. You know, we've already covered, we need to be those who go to the Lord and deal with the Lord and ask the Lord to burden us for man. That means we need to be pruned, right? Cut away anything old, anything that frustrates the fruit bearing. So we need to go to the Lord and pray so we can receive this burden. But on the other hand, I would say, you know what? There is a burden already. Our God has a desire. He has a burden. You know what God's burden is? His burden is that we would bear fruit. He's in the fruit bearing business. Right? He wants many, many, many more branches in the vine. so he can have a full expression. So this burden, on the one hand, we need to go to the Lord, pray to him to receive this burden. But on the other hand, we need to make a decision. We need to exercise our will. Do you have a will?
Yeah.
We all have a will. We need to exercise our will to choose this burden. And even our brother in the ministry exhorts us. He uses this phrase, pick up the burden. You got that? Pick up the burden. That means the burden is lying there. Someone has to pick it up. Right? Don't pray too long and say, oh, I don't think I have the burden. I don't feel like I have the burden. Just pick it up. Okay. Pick up the burden. So this is my burden. Pick up the burden. Okay? There's a burden on God's desire. He wants to bear fruit. We need to pick up this burden. Okay, let's read B. The reason why we do not bear fruit is because we do not practice contacting people directly, personally, and continually. Okay, so if you ever wondered, you know, I'm abiding, I'm praying, I'm going to the meetings, I'm reading the ministry, but I'm not bearing fruit. The brother said, just abide, you know, the fruit will come. Right? What's happening? Okay, there's a reason. It says the reason why we do not bear fruit is we do not practice. Okay, again, this word practice. Practice what? We want to be contacting people. Okay, what is fruit? Fruit is people. We want to bring these people, okay, to where we are in the vine. That's good, huh? We want to bring these people, wherever they are, to where we are in the vine, abiding in the Lord. But the reason why we do not bear fruit is because we do not contact people. Okay, so I want to, you know, ask you all, when you go home, look at a vine tree, okay? It has all kinds of funny branches, different kinds of branches. It's really interesting. And one of these branches that shoots out to bear the fruit has many contact points, okay? Contact, I don't know what to call it. That's not the biological term, okay, so forgive me. There's not a study biology here, but okay, but there's contacting points. And these points are where the fruit will be produced. That's where the flow of life is flowing and where the fruit will come out. But if there's no contacting points, there's no way for the life to flow. Okay, so we all are full of the divine life. A whole week, right? Who's full of the divine life?
Amen.
Amen. We've been enjoying the divine life, the divine dispensing this week. So we're pretty fat, right? We've been eating good food, too. I mean, I think I've gained 5 pounds here, right? But also spiritually, I've gained some spiritual pounds. What about you? We got some life juice, right? But this life juice needs to flow. It needs a way to flow. And the way to flow, that means that we need to have some contact points where this life can have a way to flow out.
Amen.
So we need to be in contact with what? People. This life can flow from one spirit to another spirit. Okay, so we need to have some people on our list, right? But not just on our list, on our hearts. And we need to physically get together with them directly. I like that word, directly. Contact people. Have about 5 people that you're in contact with and that you're burdened for, that you're praying for. That life has a potential. The more you're contacting them, guess what? Life is flowing. Life is flowing into them, and there's a potential that there could be fruit. But if we don't have anyone that we're contacting, then, you know, there's just no way for the, where's the life going to go? It needs to go into another person. So I'm burdened for this, contacting people. Okay, I've got a good verse here. I know it's really hot, and some of you are sitting in the sun. Let's keep enjoying, okay? Enjoying the Lord. Stay in the vine. Stay in the heavenly air conditioning. Okay. Okay, I've got a good verse for you. John 15:16. Okay. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Okay, so in case you thought you had a choice, you didn't have a choice. You were chosen, okay? Tell your neighbor, you didn't choose the Lord chose you. Okay, so what did the Lord choose us for? He says, I chose you and I set you. I set you. That setting is we've been set into the vine. We've been set into the vine. To do what? To be a better Christian, to go to church on Sunday, to help the cause of some kind of cause, like a brother was saying last night. No. He set you so you should go forth and bear fruit. Amen. And that your fruit should remain. Okay, so I want to focus on this. Where to set is it means he grafted us in to the vine. And to go forth. I like this word, go forth. You know what that word go forth means in Greek? Okay. What do you think it means? It's kind of simple. It just means to depart. And it applies to leave for another place. Okay, this is kind of funny. You're like, okay, wait, I'm in the branch, right? And I thought I could just stay here and enjoy the dispensing. I don't have to do anything. Well, the Lord says, I set you that you should, what?
Go forth.
Go forth. Let's say that together. Go forth. And that you should, it means that you should leave. You should leave and go to another place. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that the Lord needs our cooperation. He's prepared everything. He's set us into the vine. He's brought us to the training. He's dispensing the riches into us. He's given us his word. He's given us the ministry. He's given us our fellow believers. Oh, we're in the vine. I'm enjoying the dispensing this week, like big times. But you know what? He needs our cooperation. And our cooperation is to go forth. The first thing I put here as I was praying over this verse, we need to leave our old disposition. Our old disposition. What is that? You know, our old disposition, what we were born with, that's our makeup, is it doesn't like people. Okay? That's my disposition. My old disposition. I have a new disposition, okay? My old disposition doesn't like people. That's our disposition. No one's born with an interest in man. But we need to leave that disposition and go forth. Amen. We need to leave to another place. Amen. We need to leave to our new disposition. Amen. Our new disposition. We've all been regenerated. And you know what? That regenerated disposition loves man.
Amen.
It's really awesome. We have a new disposition. We need to stand with that disposition. That loves man. And I wrote down a few other things we need to leave. You know, sometimes we just need to leave our room. That might sound funny. Some of us, we love our room. We just would stay there. If I don't have to go to class, I'll just stay in my room. But, you know, maybe there's tabling on campus. People are reaching out to freshmen, to unbelievers. But and you have a little prompting. Maybe you should go tabling. My room is so comfortable. I did pray read a verse this morning. I think I'm a good Christian. And, you know, I'm a good roommate. But I love my room. Well, we need to leave our room. We need to depart, right? Go forth. Leave to another place. Leave to somewhere where you can bear fruit. I wrote a few other things down. We need to leave our video games. We heard that, right? Very practical. Brothers, don't worry, I also used to game when I was a student, but you know what? When I started enjoying the life juice, the game juice dried up. I tell you, Lord Jesus, the life juice is just so much better. We need to leave our games, okay? We need to leave our self-love. We need to leave our face, right? Sisters, you know, sometimes you just need to leave your face. Forget about if you're looking good or not. And just go out. Just go out. I mean, that doesn't mean don't take care of your face. Okay, take care of your... Don't worry, I'm married. Okay, my wife, she takes some time to take care of her face. That's good. But sometimes we just need to forget our self-consciousness, you know? Oh, they're going to like me, this and that. I'm not like the coolest person on campus. It's okay. Just forget about it. Just leave your face. Leave your face. Okay. Leave anything that's hindering us from going forth to bear fruit. Just be released. Just be released. Okay. And then another word I like to bring out here, that your fruit should remain. Fruit should remain. What is remaining fruit? Have you ever thought about it? What is remaining fruit? What says your fruit needs to be remained? When are they remaining? Is it like when they come to the meeting? Is it like, you know, when is that? Okay, you know what that Greek word is for remain? It's the same Greek word as for abide. Oh, that's good. I like that. So remaining fruit is abiding fruit. Okay, what we're doing here, we're abiding, right? We're abiding in the vine. So we want to bring others to where we are. You know, they might be with us for a few months, and we're contacting them, we're spending time with them, like that testimony, Jackie, I don't know if you remember. She was spending time with the saints for like a year, and she was an unbeliever for a long period of that time. But eventually, when did she become remaining fruit? When she was baptized, she believed into the Lord, and she started enjoying the life juice. Just like us, right? Just like us. Remaining fruit. Remaining fruit. So this takes a long time sometimes. So I like this word, continually. We need to contact people not only directly, not only personally. Personally means that we need to enter into their situation. But we need to contact them continually. Continually. Remember that contact point that I was talking about, right? The more I'm with this brother, say, Stefan, come up here, bro. No, that's okay. Okay, Stefan, say he's an unbeliever. Okay? Okay, I can be the unbeliever. Okay, Stefan's the unbeliever. Okay. So I'm enjoying the Lord, okay? The more I'm getting connected to this bud, right? Blossom bud, or whatever you call it. Okay. He's about to blossom, right? The more I get connected to this contact point, I have the life juice. Stefan doesn't have the life juice. But the more I contact him, the more juice starts to do its thing. And eventually, you know what? He becomes not only a fruit, but an abiding branch. Amen. And he becomes my companion. We're abiding together.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And then we know what? We go and reach another. We're contacting others. And they are going to become remaining branches. Remaining branches. Okay. Okay, I'm almost done here. I just want to just bring out a little thing here. In Acts chapter 10, there's a very good example for us about contacting people and leaving our disposition, leaving our culture, leaving our natural likes and dislikes to go to someone who is not the same as you are. Okay? You might be thinking, okay, I just want to bear people that like me and that we're the same. Okay, no one is the same as you are. That's just how it is, okay? If I was, you know, I'm from South Africa. I'm in UCLA. If I would just reach out to South Africans, and maybe if I'm really lucky, I could find like five. I've heard there are some, okay? And then we start a Christian club. And it's not, you know, it's not a South African Christian club, but I just like South Africans. And so we just get along. We know it's, you know, we got the lingo and everything. We got each other's jokes and stuff. So what are you going to do? What happens if Isaac walks in? Isaac comes in, okay? What's he going to say? South African club. I don't belong here, man. Right? He's going to be like, man, this is, they're all this South African, right? Well, we need to consider the demography of our campus. We need to consider the demography. How do you say it? Demography? Demography of our campus, right? The demographics. Okay. You know, there's a certain amount of this race. There's a certain amount of that race. There's like 0.00001% South African. So maybe if you're lucky, you can have one. But there's like maybe 50%, you know, Asian, 50% typical American, you know, Hispanic, you know, Filipino. So your campus club, just consider your campus club, does it represent the actual demography of your campus so that we can receive all kinds of believers? We want to be open to all kinds of people. So I just quickly tell you the story in Acts. Where do I get this from? Acts 10. I'll try and keep this really quick. Acts 10, there are four parties. Okay, if you don't know the story. The first party is Cornelius. He's a centurion. He's Italian. Okay? Not a Jew. Gentile. Jews think that guy's a dog. Okay? He is unclean. He's a Gentile dog in the Jews' eyes. Okay? And then another party here is angels. Angel, okay? Another party here is Peter, Simon Peter, Jew, okay? He's an apostle. And another party is God. So what happens? Italian centurion, he's praying to God. He's giving alms to God. And the Lord sees it, and he says, your prayers has ascended as a memorial before me. And so he sends an angel, to the centurion to tell him that he should go and fetch Peter in Joppa, which is like a day's journey away, so that Peter would come to all the way back and preach the gospel to him, the centurion, so that he can believe. Okay, now let me ask you the question. Why didn't God just tell the angel, hey, preach the gospel to that guy. He's praying. The angel is already there. It's easy for him. He doesn't have to, you know, go out of his way to travel all the way to Joppa and do all these things. And, you know, I don't know how angels transport, but they just, boom, they're there, you know? It's easy. But God did not ordain it for angels to preach the gospel. You as man, it's our responsibility, it's my responsibility to bear the gospel. He will not, very, very, very rarely, only like maybe one person, Paul, the Apostle Paul, would God directly preach the gospel to him. But mostly it's just through man. Just through man. So I want to impress you. You may be praying for some on your that you're burdened for, but you know what? The gospel needs to get to them through man. Amen. Through you. Not through angels. God's not going to send an angel. Again, the second thing I want to impress you with, Peter was praying, and the Lord descended a big sheet. At the same time that the centurion is sending people to Peter, he's praying, and there's a big, imagine a huge blanket coming down, and there's all kinds of animals on there. Reptiles. Do you like crocodile? Some people eat crocodile. Octopus, you know, everything is on there. Four-footed animals, birds, all kind of thing, okay? And what the Lord says to Peter, slay and eat. And then Peter says, no, I won't eat anything uncommon. But the Lord showed him, don't make anything Peter said, I won't eat anything common. The Lord said, don't make common what I have cleansed. And so Peter had to leave his disposition. He had to leave his culture, his Jewish culture, to go to another race. So different from him. Different disposition, different likes, different interests. To go and preach the gospel to them. Wow. He had to go forth. So I just impress you. We need to leave our culture behind and preach to all kinds of people that are not necessarily the same as us. Okay, let's read C. To bring forth spiritual children, we must make a decision to contact people directly. A serious decision. D. We need to devote time to contact people. Okay, let's read 2 and A. We need to take a simple way to bear fruit. Okay, A. First, we should make a vow. Amen. So we have a brother, Jeffrey. Quickly, brother. He's going to quickly give us a testimony on point, similar to point A, relating to point A. And then continuing, Brother Lamstead will continue the fellowship.
So my name is Jeffrey. I'm going to my third year at UCLA. And I didn't grow up in a church life. I grew up in Taiwan without a Christian background. But part of the reason that I came into the church life was that the saints in Cerritos were very faithful to shepherd me week after week, our family. There was another family shepherding us, and the trainees shepherding us week after week, spending time with us in the Word, getting into the truth, and that's how our family came into the church life. My first experience hearing a word on fruit bearing was the college training before my freshman year. In the college training, I remember that the brother shared a similar line on preaching the gospel on the college campuses. And the brother just asked the students, if you didn't grow up in the church life, stand up. So I saw a lot of students stand up, and the brother said, if it weren't because someone had shared the word to these ones, they wouldn't be here today. And I was so impressed. At the college training, I heard a lot of practical helps on how I can enter into the gospel labor on campus. The best fishing ponds are the college campuses. Even the college students are the best ones to contact other students. So after the training, I was really encouraged. I consecrated myself to the Lord. I gave my college years to the Lord. Amen. And then a week or two after the college training was my summer orientation. So in my orientation, it was my first experience giving myself to practice the things that I've seen and heard. I met someone in my orientation group, and on the last day of orientation, I invited him to our Bible study. And I was really hesitant, but when he said yes, I remember I was just filled with joy. Amen. And it was through this experience that another full-timer and I started to labor, to practice contacting this one, to even throughout the year spending time with this one. And during the year, there was just a lot of prayer. I remember at first, I thought maybe he's not that seeking anymore. But the more we prayed for him, the more burden we had for him. And prayer was really a factor that caused us to continue our contact for this one. And during my first year, I just gave myself to practice preaching the gospel to this one, shepherding this one. And I had so many learnings. I learned to labor in the body. Sometimes I'm too quick. Sometimes I'm too slow. And sometimes I don't really want to pray or fellowship with another saint. But I just learned that the way to preach the gospel is through the body. Amen. And even another lesson I learned is to make myself available. I remember my freshman year, I was really holding on to my schedule. I wouldn't want to make time outside of my schedule to meet with these ones. But I learned to make myself available. So going into my second year, I had this consecration to make myself more available. Amen. And actually, Hannes was meeting up with one freshman brother. His name is Jamel, all throughout fall quarter. That's 10 weeks. And then we would have our weekly appointments together, and he would be talking to me about how this one is really hungry for the word. He's really seeking. And Hannes thought it would be good for a student brother to be connected to this one. And we prayed for this together, and at first I just thought, oh yeah, that's pretty good. We'll pray for a student brother to contact him, and we'll see what the Lord does. But after a few weeks of praying for him, the Lord began to speak to me, and the Lord arranged an opportunity for me to join these kinds of appointments. Amen. So even throughout this whole year, we were very consistent in our contact with this one. We got into reading John together, reading the Word together. And again, the lesson is that the more we pray for these ones, the more burden we have for them. Amen. And yeah, after this experience, I learned to make myself more available, even to be open to shepherd the other students that the full-timers are connected to. And each one is just so different. Some are really interested in academics. Some just want to make friends, be social. And some are just so soft and open to the Lord. But I learned that the way to meet each one's need is really through the prayer in the body. Amen. And yeah, we all have different capacities, but we can all give ourselves to practice. Amen. We can give ourselves to practice on the campus. We're the best ones to reach the students. Amen. Praise the Lord, we're branches abiding in the vine.
Amen. Thank you, Jeffrey. How many of you here that are not growing up as a church kid in a church life, can you stand up? Praise the Lord. Yeah, if you are not being contacted by someone, you probably wouldn't be here, right? Yeah. So, just want to highlight some of the points that Jeffrey just shared just now is he heard the word. Have you heard the word this week?
Yeah.
If not, this is the fifth time that we're talking about fruit bearing. Have you heard it, the word?
Amen.
Who are you?
Branches.
Right? And so you heard the word. Then what would you do after you hear the word? Remember what in his testimony? And he gave himself. Would you do the same? You just come to the Lord. Give yourself. Present yourself. Right? Then what? Put down in your schedule. Lord, I want to practice. Right? When you want to practice something, in order to ensure the consistency, you have to put it into schedule. Right? And, and then start learning. I'm glad that you are all students. Students means you're learning. Right? You learn something for your career in the future. Why not you learn something for God's economy?
Amen.
Right? Fruit bearing definitely is a kind of learning. And as you can hear from his testimony, first year, he has certain kinds of learning. He realized that learning to bear fruit, he needs another member. And second year, he realized that he needs to be more flexible in his schedule. And then he learned that also to pick up the burden by praying with another brother.
Amen.
Right? All these are learning. Would you give yourself to learn?
Yeah.
Amen. So that is point A. That is first point. How about go to point B now? Read it together, please. Amen. To revive by the Lord day by day. This is part of the law of fruit bearing that was covered in, I think, was in the second message. So before we continue on that, I would like Brother Isaac come up to give his testimony.
Amen. I'm Isaac. I'm a fourth year at UCLA. And this past summer, I had the opportunity to labor with the saints at UCLA on very many potential fruit in the form of fresh incoming freshmen. And most of our labor consisted of contacting freshmen and, importantly, praying for freshmen. And we met a certain freshman, me and my companion and I met a certain freshman named Nelson. And we got lunch with him and we prayed for him afterward. And through this process, the Lord inscribed his name on my heart. And throughout the weeks leading up to the school year, my companion and I prayed for him many times, again and again, in a regular way. And we later learned that he was originally a church kid, but his parents left the church life when he was a junior, and he left the church life with his parents. And he had no thought, no intention to return to the church life or even be a Christian. But thanks to the Lord's mercy and the prayer of the saints, when he came to school, he was open to meeting with me at the student center once a week. And through meeting with him, you know, outwardly, I was the one who was going to him, physically contacting. But behind the scenes, there was so much prayer that was going on. I was praying with my student vital companions, my dear brother Lampstan, other full-timers I was vitally connected with. And through the prayers of all the saints, the burden of bearing this new one was born really not on my shoulders, but on the shoulders of all the saints. And that was my experience, that it wasn't me who was speaking to him, but it was really Peter standing with the 11. You know, that the body was taking care of this one, and I was just acting as a channel for the Lord. And, you know, when we think of contacting someone, you know, it's easy to get anxious and stuck on, you know, what should I say? What should I do? You know, what if I say the wrong things? But 1 Corinthians 3:6 is very encouraging. You know, we may be the ones who plant, and we may be the ones who water. But at the end of the day, it's God who causes the growth.
Amen.
You know, so as long as we... So I just brought this matter to the Lord. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And he just comforted me by saying that, I am the vine.
Amen.
You're just a branch, Isaac. All you have to do is take care of your daily eating of me. take care of your morning times with me.
Amen.
You know, have a rich deposit of me,
yes.
You know, and pray for me so that pray that I could be released.
Amen.
And I could do my work.
Amen.
And I could carry out my heart's desire for this one,
because
it's God's will.
Yes.
And God's heart's desire. This is what he wants.
Amen.
You know, so Lord, I'm not doing this because I want to do it. I want this because you want me to do it. And eventually my heart will become a duplication of your heart.
Amen.
And praying in this way, praying with other believers for this one, it became so much easier. Just realizing that you're not the source, but God is the source. And that we're just here to present our bodies physically, to present ourselves, our mind, our soul, and our spirit, to be a channel for the Lord, so that the Lord could carry out what he wants in this one. And as we continue to have time together, he opened up to me and we had a lot of good fellowship. And we came to the matter of having a personal relationship to the Lord. I presented him the habit of having morning revival, or being revived in the morning. And he was open to it. So we decided to have morning revival together every Thursday at 7 a.m. But, you know, it's impossible to usher someone into their spirit.
Amen.
If you yourself are not in the spirit.
Right.
If you are not experiencing and enjoying the mingled spirit, how are you gonna help someone else usher someone else into that experience?
Yeah.
So every morning I woke up a little earlier, took the grace, amen, Lord. And if you ever if you feel like you have a hard time having a morning time, then just have a morning time with the new one, because the moment you realize that if you press that snooze button and you give the Lord 9 less minutes to dispense himself into you, to infuse himself into you, then your new one might miss out on a portion that God wanted to dispense to him.
Amen.
Through you. You know, it's not just you that's being affected, but even your new one may lose out on Christ because you wanted to press that snooze button and stay in bed 9 minutes longer.
Amen.
And that will surely uplift your mornings with the Lord.
Yes.
And coming to the Lord in a daily way, you know, if we're not constituted with the Lord, you know, the Lord can't just manufacture things out of us. We need a deposit. And we need something of the Lord in us. But at the time that we need to speak, the Lord will give us the words.
Amen.
We just have to be faithful. We just have to have faith in him that he will give you those words.
Amen.
As long as we take care of our eating of the Lord, and as long as we pray that he would be released to have an unhindered flow during your time with that new one. And during our times of morning revival, we have a lot of us know what the Holy Word for Morning Revival is. And it's a very helpful book in helping us contact the Lord and being revived by the Lord in the morning. But saints, morning revival is not to get through a book. The point of morning revival is not so that we could read verses and finish reading the rest of the ministry excerpt. But really, the point of morning revival is to be revived.
Amen.
Is to touch the Lord.
Yes.
You know, I remember he asked me, what do you do in the morning? I told him, I don't know what I do in the morning. I'm still learning. I'm still practicing. You know, but these are some of the things that have helped me. You know, basic things like calling on the Lord, singing. And when we got together, that's all we did because that's all we knew how to do.
Amen.
And through just simple things, through picking up the spirit of learning, the Lord had a way to rich blessly our times together. And, you know, of course, what was really helpful about having morning revival with him is that it gave him a way to experience the Lord on his own. You know, when I wasn't with him, because I can't live with him. So this was a practical way for him to have a personal relationship with the Lord. You know, he would tell me sometimes he only spent, you know, a couple minutes, or all he could do was say, Lord Jesus. But he told me that he had a consistent morning time with the Lord.
Amen.
And how encouraging that is to hear.
Yes.
From someone who just turned his heart to the Lord.
Amen.
And, oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, this is, my joy was definitely made full on that day.
Amen.
And spending time with him, having morning revival with him, even this led to his moving into the brother's house. Hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, it may not seem outwardly that much has changed, you know. It wasn't anything miraculous. He wasn't like spending 30 minutes with the Lord every morning and then getting into word after that and then going out to preach the gospel.
Amen.
But he was just spending a few minutes with the Lord. You know, outwardly it may not seem like there was much progress, but inwardly, you know, by the fact that he has a desire to live with the other saints, Amen. We can see that there was a great reconstitution.
Amen.
Oh, more of God's life got into him.
Amen.
Oh, let us pick up this spirit of learning, of practicing, and of going forth
Amen.
So that God's heart's desire that we would bear fruit would be fulfilled in us.
Amen.
Before you go down, Isaac, how many hours you spend with Nelson?
Oh, Lord, how many hours? At least, I mean, our appointed times, we didn't really have an end. We were really flexible. I just spent however long he wanted to spend. Sometimes that'd be 10 minutes, sometimes that'd be an hour.
Mm.
But I'd say on average, I spent a little over 2 hours with him every week.
Yeah, so there's a time of appointment, just reading the Word, studying the Word, fellowshipping, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then another time in the morning, you help him to be revived.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's good. Thank you. Well, how about we finish up that point B together by reading through brothers with point one, sister point two, then together point three. Amen. Together. We should set two verses from the scripture to live on what? Amen. And if you are revived daily, contacting the Lord with the verses, touching the Lord, and so fruit bearing wouldn't be a chore, it wouldn't be a heavy burden. You'll be just an outflow of life. How about we go to third point, C? Huh? Amen. How about we read it one more time, emphasize the word practice. Now read it one more time, emphasize the phrase every week. Every week. Amen. Do you go to class once a month? How is the classes being scheduled? Every week. You get the point.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, how about for this, we read a few points before next student will give their testimony, okay? How about sister go with point one? Amen. So, we start with ourselves and then get a companion. Okay, number two, brothers.
We need to plan and schedule our time so that we can contact two or three individuals every week.
Amen. So, plan. Right? Plan. Is it sound familiar?
Yeah.
Plan. Right? And schedule our time so that we can contact two or three individually. On Roman numeral 2, point A, it said 2 or 3 hours per week. And here it said 2 or 3 individuals every week. It may seem like 2 or 3 hours per week may seem a lot. Saints, if you enjoy the joy, tasting the joy of fruit bearing, when you have someone that, you know, just asking the seeking question, I tell you that 2 hours go without notice. Right? And so actually, 2 hours out of the whole week is not that much. Okay? Amen. But your joy will be made for.
Amen.
But you need to plan. Plan is on our side. But next point, how about sister with three? Yes, plan is on our side. And this point, point three, we should pray. Pray that so the Lord will come in, right? The Lord can do something. Pray to the Lord to get a proper candidate for our labor and that he may show us the vital way. Amen. We need to pray. Fruit bearing is a praying practice to pray, to always seeking the Lord, knowing that we ourselves, the Lord said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Don't think like, okay, now we need to go back, you know, pull together a great plan, a program. Now let's do it. The fruit bearing doesn't go that way. Fruit bearing require praying. Praying connect us to the Lord. Cause us to abide in Him and then He in us.
Amen.
Okay, read one more point. Point four, brothers. Amen. Yeah, through all practice, we will find out. Yeah. How about at this point, we'd like to have Brother Elijah come up. Where are you, brother? Okay. Before he shares, I just want to highlight a few points, okay? We all know that we would like, you know, when we contact people, we would like to be as frequently as possible, right? But the question is, I want to go beyond a little bit from the scope of this outline, is that many times, those who have a desire to bear fruit, we would like to see the person, right, again and again, in a continuous way. But the question too, sometime, they ditch out on you. They're not interested for some reason. But how can we help them to be regular? Having regular appointment with us. Right? And this is by entering into their situation. Okay? And so, just to highlight Brother Elijah's testimony, I want you to pay attention to how can he initiate to have a continual contact, to have personal contact, right? And the second point is that how can he segue into more, just from a regular contact to a nurturing, feeding process? Okay, go ahead.
Amen. Hi, Saints. My name is Elijah. I just graduated from UCLA, and I'm going to go to the full-time training. Okay, with today's, I don't know if you guys remember from my sharing on Thursday, but as a result of a lot of prayer with the saints in the body, I was able to eventually have 6 young freshman brothers with which I could shepherd. And in today's portion, I'd like to focus on 2 of these brothers for our help and for our encouragement and from our application. And so these 2 brothers' names are Alan and Jamail. And I'm going to tell you a bit about how these people are, so you can understand just how radically different my experience with these 2 brothers was. So, brother number 1, his name is Alan. He is Caucasian. He's from a very conservative family. He grew up Christian. He was relatively wealthy. And he grew up in a very sound family. And dispositionally, he's pretty quick to think, quick to speak. And then you have brother 2, Jamail. He's African American. He did not grow up from such a safe and sound family. He was staunchly liberal, very politically minded, dispositionally slow to think, slow to speak, or I should say more careful in his speech. And also, he's a... Sorry, what am I missing? Oh, also, yeah, he's not from the richest of families, and very, very liberal, extremely liberal. So these 2 brothers are polar opposites. And I have to address the first question, which is, so how did I initiate and obtain continual, consistent, and personal contact with these people? And the reason why I highlighted that these people are so opposite is because you guys might have people who you're shepherding, and you're like, oh, well, the person I'm shepherding is so different from the person that you're talking about in your experience. Well, with Alan and Jamail, I believe we've covered both ends of the spectrum. And so anyway, to answer the first question, well, first, I have to admit, I had a lot of false concepts about what appointments were. And I had thought that an appointment was to read the Bible with somebody, it was to always pray with somebody, and it would always be in the student center where we were. Well, I have to be totally honest, an appointment is just anything you can do to get a consistent, personal time with these people.
Amen.
So first, with regards to Alan, so remember, Alan's the Caucasian conservative one. with Alan, he was Christian. He grew up in a Christian family. So I just went up to him and I said, "Hey, Alan, you want to meet up and pray and read the Bible every week?" And he said, "Sure." So we jumped right into it, and I just met him in the dorms, and I ate with him every single week, and I also prayed and I read the Word with him, and it was awesome. With Jamail, though, it wasn't so easy because he wasn't so open. He didn't grow up in a Christian family, so I didn't even ask him if he wanted to meet up with me every week. Instead, I just asked him, "Hey, Jamail, you know, what are you into? What piques your curiosity?" And he said, "Well, I'm really into politics." He wants to be a lawyer. He wants to be a politician. So then every time I talked to him, he would just talk about politics all day long. And then I was like, wow, you know, I have a decent knowledge of politics, but this guy, he puts me to shame. So right, it was every day when I went home, I read the news. I went on Wikipedia. I started reading about politicians, read way more about Trump, way more about Clinton, read about everybody. So for the sake of every time I met with Jamail, I'd have something to talk about him. I entered into his interest. And so what I did was, I would just be like, "Hey, man, you know, you want to talk about the election?" He'd be like, "Oh, yeah, definitely." So I just meet up with him, talk about the election. No spiritual content. Definitely no spiritual content. And then I'd also say, "Hey, man, you need help with your English homework? Let me help you with your writing." And he said, "Yeah, you know, this paper's killing me." I just met up with him, and I'd help him with his writing. Again, no spiritual content. I just took every single opportunity I had to meet up with this guy. And I just entered into his interest, entered into what was, you know, what he was into. So that's the first question, and I just wanted to highlight 2 points, and that's just that, notice, I never figured out how to be with them. I really want to emphasize, and that's that I really prayed a lot. For the sake of the testimony, I can't tell you how much I prayed, but I prayed a lot with Lampstand, prayed a lot with companions, prayed a lot with a lot of community saints, a lot of prayer just for the Lord to fill me with himself as the all-fitting life. Let me tell you, dispositionally, I have no way to be connected with these two people. They're one end, I'm like dead center. I'm so far away from them. But I prayed a lot, and the Lord showed me the way. Amen. And he told me, just meet them where they're at.
Amen.
The Lord didn't go to the Samaritan woman and say, "Oh yeah, she's way below me, I don't, whatever." No, he just met her at the well. He met her in the middle of her daily routine. And that's what I strive to do with these two. So, sorry. Okay. Also, this process took many, many months. In this testimony, it might seem like, oh, this was really quick, but this took me arguably a whole year, consistently meeting with them, getting with them every single chance I got. And much consistency, much prayer. And the point of all of this was so that I could get them to be open and vulnerable to me. I can't emphasize the importance of this enough. No one is going to want to hear what you have to say about the gospel if they're not open to you, if they're not vulnerable to you, especially with Jamail. This guy, he had like a, you know what we say when, you know, you got to break down the shell? Jamail's shell was like, you know, 2 feet of solid steel. Like, it was really, really hard. And I just had to constantly endeavor to labor with him, be with him, just to get into his interest. So anyway, all this labor was to get them to be open and vulnerable to me. So the second question is, okay, so I was able to secure these times by meeting their interests. Well, how was I able to segue these times into more nourishing content? How do we progress from the social into the more spiritual, into enjoying Christ's life? So again, I'd like to start with Alan. So we had a different problem with Alan, and that was that he was really, really religious. So every single time I met with him, every time I'd say, "Hey, you know, do you know Christ is life?" He's like, "Oh yeah, I knew that." And I'm like, "Amen, but do you know Christ is life?" He's like, "Oh yeah, amen, I know that." And then it was really hard. And every time we prayed, you know, he just prayed like, "Oh yeah, you know, let's pray for, you know, my school, my test, my, you know, just, I just feel like in, you know, I don't want to make any kind of a blanket statement, but in his experience of Christianity, prayer is very much for yourself." And so I was just praying before the Lord, "Lord, how do I get this guy to enter the reality of life? What do I need to do?" And he spoke really clearly to me. He said, "Why don't you just share your burden with him? He has me in him." And I was like, "Oh, that's right, he does. This guy also has a God-given desire in him to bear fruit."
Amen.
So what I did was I, you know, my appointments with him, I said, "Hey, Alan, you know Jamail, right?" He's like, "Yeah, definitely know Jamail." I said, "Let's pray for Jamail." He's like, "Yeah, let's do that. I actually never thought about that. Let's do that." And then we started praying for Jamail. And the more we prayed into Jamail, the reality of life comes in.
Amen.
Because you're no longer interested in your own life. You're interested for the sake of another.
Amen.
There's no easier way for the life to flow in than to pray and to intercede for another person.
Yeah.
And as we prayed for the sake of Jamail, eventually other names came up.
Right.
We prayed for Lampstand. We prayed for another brother, Brother Donnie. We prayed for so many other brothers, and the life was able to come in. So that's how I segued with this more religious brother. Now with Jamail, the way we segued was, again, not so direct, not so forward, but actually, after 9 months of meeting with Jamil, again, zero, almost zero spiritual content, one day I took him out to Boiling Crab, really good, and then, good way to get someone vulnerable, take him out to dinner, and I took him to Boiling Crab, you know, we're just eating, hanging out. At this point, he was pretty comfortable with me as a person, and I just asked him, you know, Jamil, I really know you, I know what you're into, but can I ask you, what keeps you up at night? What really concerns you in this life of yours? And, you know, it was a more serious question, and he was open to me at that point. And he responded to me. He said, Elijah, I'm really, really concerned about the political situation of this country. Keep in mind, he's super liberal. At this point, Trump got elected. So he was like, I'm really, really concerned. And I just don't want to see our country fall into any kind of injustice or whatever. He's just saying this to me. He's really pouring out his soul to me. Keep in mind, my thought wasn't, oh, if only his concern was spiritual. Oh, whatever. No, it was, I was very thankful that he was opening his being to me. And that's what really mattered. And then, you know, as he was pointing this out to me, I couldn't help but be impressed. And I said, Jamil, you know, there isn't nothing you can do. I know something you can do. You can pray for the political situation of this country. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, you can pray. You know, Jamil, I've never met a person your age who cared that this deeply about the country. You know, people talk about politics as buzzwords and to be relevant, but he, back me up, he really, really cares about this country. And I told him, you know, Jamil, God might be looking for a young person to pray for the political situation in this country, but there might not be anybody who cares enough to do it. Jamil, God might be looking for you. And he said, really? I was like, yeah, let's pray for it right now. Amen. And we prayed for it. And he had a big smile on his face. And he said, I felt like I just did something. Amen. And I said, you did do something. Amen. You prayed for the political situation. Yes. Anyway, it was so wonderful. And at that point, the life gate was open. Amen. And I could just meet with him to pray about the political situation. Again, did I have an agenda? Did I say, hey, you know, let's get into Experience of Life. Let's read The Economy of God. Yeah, let's go to home meetings. No. Again, just met him where he was at. Every week we just prayed for, you know, the political situation. And that was the Lord's way of reaching him. Amen. Who are we to say no to that? Amen. And I agree, that was the best way to reach him. Amen. Anyway, so eventually through this, I just want to highlight two things with these two brothers. And that's that one, prayer was key. I didn't know what to do. I just entered into their burden. And as I sought the Lord by myself and with the saints, the way was made clear to me. Amen. Second, consistency. I'm serious. I really sought every single bit of free time that these two had. If they had an extra hour to spare, I did it. If I had a midterm the next day, but then one day they said, oh, I'm free for 2 hours. Amen, Lord, 2 hours. You'll take care of my midterm. And so I just sought really every opportunity. And I really believe if I wasn't consistent, especially with Jamil, he wouldn't have been open to me. If I just met up with him twice, you know, once every 2 weeks, it wouldn't have worked. So anyway, now, you know, in this testimony, I was really focusing on the process of getting these two to be open to me and for the Lord to reach them and for the Lord to gain them as remaining fruit. But now, just as an encouragement to you all, I'd like to conclude with where they are today. So after a year of all this process, let me tell you, I meet with both of them at least 3 times a week. So what it is with Alan, I have one-on-one appointments. With Jamil, I have one-on-one appointments. With Alan and Jamil together, we go to dinner at a community saint's home every single week. Also, with Alan and Jamil, well, most of the time, we also go to another community saint's home another time a week. So that's 2 dinners a week in addition to my appointment. And that's not counting all the times I help them with homework, all the times I'll play sports with them, all the time I'll take them to Korean barbecue. Anyway, it's just consistency. And now they're going on in the Lord. And they love the Lord. Amen. And now the way is fully open for me to get life into them. Amen. And the way was by gaining that openness and that vulnerability. Saints, be open to the Lord, seek the Lord, and he'll make the way clear. Even with these radically opposite people. And by the way, these two opposite people, now they pray together. What a glory to God and a shame to Satan that a liberal and a conservative can pray together. Amen. What a shame to the enemy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, brother. Amen. Well, saints, just show that if we open ourselves, cooperate with him, how much the Lord can flow through us.
Amen.
Only the Lord knows what is the proper contact. Saints, we need to pray. Because the Lord is the one who knows how to reach different ones at their different situation. And we don't know. We are very this. If I'm that kind of person, I'm only like this. But the Lord is this. We are so narrow. You know, only few criteria, few kinds of people can fit in. Sometimes we can't even fit ourselves in. You get the point? But the Lord, He's like this. So when you are one with Him in prayer to Him and prayer with one another, somehow the Lord's heart, the Lord's way being revealed in your heart. You really don't know. I don't think Elijah know a pre-program. You know, what are we going to talk about today? Right? And but just at the conversation, as you are seeking the Lord, as you are abiding in Him, as you are looking to Him, not sure what to do with this conversation, where this will lead to, but somehow the Lord has a way to flow. Amen. Amen. The Lord has a way to flow.
Amen.
Oh, we need to give Him a way. How about go on to point four? Oh, we read point four already, right? Point five, sisters. Point six, brothers.
We should make a list of our acquaintances and study their situation. Labor on them according to our study. This is the way to gain the proper persons.
Yeah, study their situation and study with a few. Amen. They are a burden for these new ones. And through study, we realize that we shouldn't give that one out. We hardly ever meet a person like Jamel, even though he was so liberal view and so forth, it doesn't matter. But this person has a definite goal. He is looking for certain kinds of internship. He is looking for certain path to get to where he wants to get to. And he is very passionate for it. The Lord can use him. The Lord can gain him. But he needs to be channeled in the proper way. Okay, let's go on to, is it A? No. Read D together. Amen. Yearly. Don't you want this be your goal? Well, in conclusion to this line of fellowship, saints, I just want to mention a few things here. The fruit in chapter 15 of John is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit as in Galatians chapter 5. Yeah, these fruits are people. These fruits are believers. This fruit is the one that the Lord God blessed Adam with after He created man. You know what the first blessing God gave to man? Be fruitful.
Amen.
And multiply.
Yeah.
Amen. So, and the fruit, the Lord didn't specify what kinds of fruit, what kinds of people. So anyone that is not abiding in the Lord, as a branch, they're abiding in the Lord. They are the fruit. They are the candidate. They are the potential fruit. Then let there be unbelievers. Let there be new believers, weak believers, backsliding believers, disheartened believers, young people. All these are the possible fruit. Do you agree?
Amen.
Amen. So don't limit it to just, oh, fruit must be the unbelievers. Whatever the Lord put around you, the people that He put around you for you to minister life, for you to flow His life into,
yeah,
those are all the potential fruit.
Amen.
And not just fruit, but the Lord wants our fruit to remain. Like Hannah shared, that the word remain means abide. How do we know this fruit is a remaining fruit? That means that fruit needs to become branches.
Amen.
Amen. We always need to have a desire to have a new fruit every year. That will keep you fresh, keep you new, and what? Keep you living.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Do you want to be dead?
No.
No. Do you want to be fruitless?
No.
Do you want to be old?
No.
You can be 17 years old, right? Or 18 years old, young in the flesh. But spiritually, you're so old.
Yeah.
You don't want that, right? Look at Brother Bayed. Right? He's so fresh. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, brother. Yeah, we need to go before the Lord to see if the fruit... let me say this, saints. The fruit bearing is really an indicator where we are, what is our condition before the Lord.
Yeah.
And if we say that we experience the Lord, we are enjoying the Lord, but no fruit, you have to put a big question mark on your experience or on your enjoying the Lord. The fruit doesn't cheat. Okay? If you are a healthy branch, a branch that is not detached, when times come, the fruit just come. Saints, we don't want to be self-deceived, thinking that we are okay. I hope that after this fellowship, we all have the desire and prayer before the Lord. Lord, I don't want to be fruitless. Give me fruit, otherwise I will die. May this desperateness, this desire burn within us.
Amen.
You may be anxious, concerned about so many things in our human life. How about this? My destiny in Christ, in God, is fruit bearing. Lord, where is my fruit?
Amen.
I want fruit.
Amen.
I cannot go another day without fruit. Lord, give me fruit.
Amen.
I do whatever you want me to do.
Amen.
I just want fruit.
Amen.
Saints, be desperate before the Lord. And the Lord is faithful. As we are desperate before the Lord in this way, the Lord, you will see, the Lord will start to shine. The Lord will start to adjust. The Lord will make himself real to you.
Amen.
Many of you may have still a question, is God real? I tell you, when you get a fruit, when you get a new one who is enjoying the Lord,
yeah,
you say, God must be real.
Yeah. Amen.
You will never ask that question anymore.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I hope I'm not weighed you down, but I just want to impart a burden within you. Saints, we want to be a healthy, normal, functioning member in the body. Otherwise, our spirituality will become peculiar. You may think like, oh, I'm spiritual. But your spirituality scares people away. Your spirituality may turn people off. Your spirituality may not have the fragrance of Christ. For this, we need to be desperate before the Lord.
Amen.
Fruit bearing, the fruit is a test. The fruit is an indicator where we are. And also the condition, I'm going another step forward. Also the condition of the fruit reflect our condition. Yes, we may have a fruit. Don't stop there. Are they remaining? Are they also abiding in the Lord? Are they also seeking after the Lord? Their condition very much reflecting our condition. When you look at their condition, you will be reflected upon. And you will be desperate before the Lord. Lord, I don't want to be a hindrance for them not be able to go on. I don't want to be not able to have a thirst and hunger for you. That issue in they don't have a hunger and the thirst before you. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord bless us.
Amen.
Well, now I come back to an encouraging word. I tell you, I have been attending this summer college training for 18 times in the past 20 years. Some of you may not even born when I started attending college training here. But anyway, in the past few years, I have been fellowship along this line of fruit bearing. You know what? I was so encouraged, even including this time, hearing so many of you have such a testimony.
Right.
I just thought, Lord, this is beautiful.
Amen.
This is beautiful. But you know what? I'm not satisfied.
Amen.
I want to see more.
Amen.
I want to see next year around or the year after that.
Amen.
More. And when we brother look for testimony, we say like, we have enough. We have enough. Right now we have to, see who has this testimony in this aspect, in that aspect. I would like to see in 2 years from now, there are tons of testimony.
Amen.
whatever aspect of the gospel, whatever aspect of the fruit-bearing experience, we have tons of people that can share their experience. It becomes so common. It becomes so normal. Fruit-bearing is normal. How about bear fruit in clusters? You don't see a grape dangling on the fruit, the branch, do you? The Lord said, vine and branches, they further indicate that the fruit is a clusters. Wow. Right? It is normal that when we come to the meeting, that at least one or two come with us. I know our care. I know our shepherding. Our time, my time is up. Okay. At least I release my burden.
Amen.